The timing isn't great.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Bill Radke. The very day after the Treasury Secretary announced his plan for a bank rescue and got scalded for it by the stock markets, a group of bank executives have to troop up to Capitol Hill and defend their part in the financial fallout. Executives of eight banks that participated in the government bailout last fall will tell the House Financial Services Committee what they have done with the money and why they're not lending more. They got that government help in part one of the troubled asset relief program that Congress approved last fall. Investors were not happy about part two of that plan announced yesterday. Critics said the plan was too light on the details. Wall Street stocks tanked, and this morning Asian markets were down too. Worst hit was Hong Kong, down 2.5% after China reported its biggest drop in exports in more than a decade. European shares are now mixed. Yesterday, the Dow fell 382 points, down to 7,888. We all know that hedge funds had an awful time last year, but from London, Stephen Beard reports they may have turned the corner. Hedge funds are making money again.
The hedge fund industry has made a profit for 2 months in a row. This is the first time that's happened since last spring. 2008 is a year the hedges would prefer to forget. Currencies, commodities, stocks and bonds were all over the place. Markets were difficult to call. Many funds went bust. Ian Morley is with Corazon Capital. He says the recent pickup may be the Darwinian principle at work. The hedge funds that have survived are the fittest.
There were a lot of people who came into the hedge fund industry. A lot of those people got put out of business, and those that are left standing are going to be those that tend to have more of a skill in making money in a hedge fund way.
He claims the hedge fund industry's return to profitability is a good sign for the global economy. It suggests that markets have settled down a little and become a bit easier to predict. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
I mentioned a moment ago that bank CEOs are testifying to Congress today about their role in that federal bank bailout. House members are sure to grill them about what the public perceives as the industry's outrageously generous compensation. Some bank executives have countered that they have to compensate their key employees very well or they risk losing them. But is big money really all that motivates employees? We asked some working people in Los Angeles what inspires them to do a great job.
It's my passion for arts and beauty.
I want to be the best shoeshine man there is.
And if you care for your customers, then you want to do the best you can for them, too.
That was hairstylist Nelly Velasco, shoeshiner Ernest Curtis, and barista Dakota Bertrand. Los Angeles Times columnist David Lazarus, we turn to you. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, David, we have bank executives saying we need to pay millions and millions of dollars. We've got those working people we just met saying, no, I do a good job just because I love it. Who's telling the truth?
Well, it's a little of both, obviously. And clearly, when you ask working Americans, all right, would you like a higher salary? Would you like a bonus? There's nobody who says no to that. What it really comes down to is a question of motivation. And my impression is that ordinary working stiffs seem to say, I'm going to do my job. Yes, of course, I want to be paid well for it, but I take pride in what I'm doing. Whereas you look at the Wall Street culture, and it's not the fault of the workers themselves, but the idea there seems to be that no good effort should go unrewarded, and it should go rewarded as lavishly as possible.
So how do we get to this point that bank executives are saying the love isn't enough? We need a lot more than $500,000.
Well, if we go back about 20 years or so, you get in the mid-80s, a point where there was so much outrage about CEO pay that efforts were finally made to crack down on it. And so tax penalties were imposed on golden parachutes that went way over the top. How did companies respond? They paid the taxes for their CEOs, thus allowing them to keep doing the big fat packages. Then in the early 90s, yet another attempt was made to give transparency by making companies disclose all of the extent of the CEO pay and all the perks. What happened after that? Other CEOs saw how much their rivals made and said, I want that too. And then shortly thereafter, there was yet another attempt to bring these things down by saying that any CEO pay over $1 million would not be tax deductible unless it was performance-based. So what do companies do? They bring out a little something called the stock option.
Do you suspect that if bank executives saw their pay shrink, they would do it for the love anyway?
Not at all. But I do think you would get, first of all, a cultural shift, and then I think you would get an attraction of a different style of worker to these jobs. Right now, a certain personality type is going to pursue this. And I don't want to say it's all the Gordon Geckos of the world, but they are going to go this way. If Wall Street was able to say, look, here's the salary up front, and bonuses are going to be much more contingent on doing the work as opposed to just something that you can expect to get time after time, you're going to get people who come in and do the work in and of itself.
LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work.
Our president has called on Americans to save energy, and Google is here to help. The search giant said yesterday it is developing a free web service to help you track your home energy use in real time. The company says users of its Power Meter application can cut their electricity use 15%. Google also stands to gain. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
The only way to get consumers to use less energy is to first provide them with detailed information on how they use it. And that's something Google knows how to do. Kirsten Olson Cahill manages Google's Power Meter program.
Our bread and butter is organizing information and making it useful and accessible. And so energy information is no exception to that.
Google would partner with utilities that install smart meters on customers' homes. Those meters provide the raw data on home energy use down to each appliance. And the technology is about to get a $4.5 billion boost from the congressional stimulus package. Analyst Rob Enderle says Google stands to gain.
So, for instance, they would know how many old TVs might be in a particular demographic and then would be able to target that demographic with offers for newer TVs at a time when those folks might be willing to buy them.
Creating a new breed of advertising and a new reason to speed up the so-called smart grid revolution, profits. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
And also in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.